Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too.
Hello, everyone. It's Becky Brown, and I'm so glad that you joined us today. And by us, I mean JJ West and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hello, you guys.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Becky. Hey, Jill.
We're coming from all across the country. I'm in Ohio, Jill's in California, and JJ's in Florida. So, you know, we've got you covered, and we're so glad that you're calling in. We've got some great calls. But, you know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And in case you were wondering, you can have mental health, but you could also have mental illness. It's, you know, it's one of those things that a lot of times people will say, you know, it's my, I need a mental health day. And you probably do. You know, there are things that affect us in so many ways, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, that we need to pay attention to. And in Mental Health Awareness Month, there are things that you may not have been paying attention to. Anxiety, depression, stress. There's all kinds of things. You know,
and it's
I don't
good
want you guys to talk.
Oh, it's good to be reminded to check in with ourselves, right? How are we doing? To kind of pause and really look at that. And are we addressing our mental health? Are we doing things to help support us being vital in our mental health?
Yeah, and so you think about some of the things that impact our mental health, like I mentioned, anxiety or depression, you know, stress. But we also use things to address it, like addictions of any kind, eating, porn, gambling, you know, because it relieves something in us. But
right, we use those things to cope, but not really to address our mental health, right? It's more just to keep going on and limping along.
Yeah. So, JJ, what would you say to somebody who needs to address mental health issues? What would be a good checklist or something to, you know, consider?
Well, I would start with saying that it's not binary. It's not either I'm healthy or I'm unhealthy. It's a spectrum.
Yeah.
So it's not the on-off switch on the radio. It's the volume knob. And so I can tend toward more health or I can tend toward unhealth or less health. But it's not like I'm either healthy or unhealthy. That being said,
really
there's
point.
Several different categories of places that I want to look at. How am I doing? How are my relationships? Do I feel close and connected to others or do I feel disconnected and distant? I want to look at my spiritual life. Am I spending time connecting with God or am I avoiding God? I want to look at my work life. Does it feel like I have a good balance between how much time I spend at work, how much energy I'm expending for work, versus how much time I'm spending and energy I'm expending in my personal relationships. And I want to look at my financial life. Does it feel like I'm stable and sound, or does it feel chaotic and I'm barely getting through each pay period? And I also want to look at these areas of addiction that you started off talking about, which is, are there places in my life where I am escaping? That I'm using some mood-altering substance or behavior to escape from a negative situation in order, even though doing so is creating these negative consequences in my life. If that's happening, chances are I'm tending toward unhealth on that side of the dial versus health.
Right. Where are you in surviving versus thriving, right? And I love that continuum approach.
Yeah. Well, and you know, isn't it funny? The same thought process goes into, I'm not that bad. And so then we stay away from even looking at the issues that we might need to tend to before they get real bad.
Right.
But
because I'm still functioning in some way.
Exactly. And we just want to invite you into the process of checking yourself before you wreck yourself, especially because it's May and this is what we're focused on, mental health awareness. Now, we're going to answer some calls after this break. Stay tuned.
find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, one of the best ways that you can help your mental health, besides counseling and all the things that we just talked about, is being part of a life recovery group. We've got life recovery groups all over the country. We've got them online, and it can just be a great process for you to continue to just kind of have a way to know, you know, am I doing okay? Do I need to, you know, kind of tuck things back in a little bit or, you know, bring things into light? There's all kinds of ways that we can do it. But I just want to encourage, if you would like to join a life recovery group, you can give us a call. We're going to go to the calls right now, and we're going to speak with Carrie, who's calling us from Bismarck and watches us on YouTube. And we're grateful for our YouTube family. If you're watching there, please like and subscribe. It will help get the word out about New Life. Hi, Carrie. How can we help you today?
Hello. I just had to call in. I was one of in JJ's last accountability group, and I just happened to be listening to New Life as I'm driving here today. And what a joy it is to hear his voice and to remember the great blessings that he had in leading our group and great ministry that he had. I just wanted to say what a great joy it is to be able to hear him and to think back to those wonderful times in our recovery group.
Well, good to hear from you, wow. Carrie. Do you have a question?
I mean, as soon as you said Carrie from Bismarck, North Dakota, I was like, I know a Carrie in North Dakota. Could it possibly be? What are the chances? Oh, Carrie, what a joy it is to hear your voice again. Oh, thank you so much for calling. And like you, I think back on those calls with that group of men very fondly, and just forever changed by each and every one of you. And so glad that you were part of that group, and as well, just really, really encouraged to hear your voice today.
It was just a miracle of the Lord to be able to come on, hear your voice, and go, I know that man. That was really great. It was such a blessing and a joy. And it's an honor to be able to talk to you guys, Jill and Becky, along with, and to know the great difference that the Every Man's Battle group can make. I was one of the first who was on right as COVID came, and had it Zoom online for that one-day event, and it was a great, great blessing in my life.
Yeah, That's awesome. We're actually getting ready to do another
one-day
online.
So glad to hear that, because I've wondered about the online, and I'm so happy to hear that, Carrie, that it was really a huge impact on your life.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you it was, you know, I haven't gone to the weekend event, but definitely I was overwhelmed and just turned inside out at the one-day event, but it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was very, very good. So,
By the way, Carrie, can I move on?
What's that?
I just wanted to say, by the way, since you mentioned it, because you are an alumni, I would really encourage you to look at one of the in-person workshops that gets near you to try to make it, because there are some things that we do at the in-person workshop that we simply cannot replicate online. And I think you would have a different experience because of that. But also, for anyone who's gone before, I can tell you from my own experience, every single time I went as staff, God would impact my life with something new, something different. And so we can always learn something new. But I would definitely encourage, I would love to see your face in the back of the room with the alumni group at one of the live events, if you ever get a chance to do that.
That sounds good. I'll have to really look into that, that's for sure. I just wanted to share, these last number of months has been a big, big struggle, though. I have just been overwhelmed with challenges and temptations in this. And, you know, I have to say that opening to the Lord, sometimes I've fallen, but where would we be without our grace, mercy, and love of God to let us know we're still loved and to lift us back up and to start again. But just would love to have some advice, some counsel on with all that's going on in our world and our country, just to have that strength to be able to not fall into those traps that Satan sets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I would love to jump in here and some of this. some of this is going to repeat because, you know, Carrie and I were on the call together for so long. So you almost even know what I'm going to say, Carrie. But I'll start by saying it, first and foremost, there has to be a community. I have to have accountability with other good, safe men in my life. When I'm trying to do it all on my own and it's just me and Jesus and we're going to tackle this thing, I get knocked on my butt time after time after time. And so it's so vital, especially because we do tend to have very disconnected lives more and more these days. It's so important that you are building in community, that you're building in accountability. And so, you know, have some guys that you're meeting with, have some guys that you're talking to, texting, calling on a regular basis, because if you're trying to fight it alone, you're going to end up losing more battles. So have accountability. And refresh your mind on the things that you did learn at the workshop. So go back and review the workbook. Go back and review the notes that you took. Go back and review maybe even some of your early journal entries as you were walking through the recovery process, because we need those refreshers.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that we do too, Carrie, is since you were part of a group, you can join a Sustained Victory group online. You can just continue in the process. And sometimes I think when we get in those places, it can be hard to begin again, but it's possible, and we'll get you connected. Jill, did you have something you wanted to add?
I was going to say, when you've gone through a process with any addiction and you've had success, I think you now know a lot, and it's easy to get to a place and think you don't need as much support because you've done it, you've been there, done that. The support can change, the groups may change, but we all need ongoing support throughout life. We all need to always be connected and have some form of a support group, whether you have an addiction or not.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thanks for calling, Carrie. We're going to send you a copy of Everyman's Bible, and I think that'll encourage you. We're looking forward to seeing you as an alumni at the next Everyman's Battle. We're going to go to Christine, who's calling us from Frederick, Maryland, listens on WAVA. We love that station. Hello, Christine. How can we help you today?
Hey, how are you doing today? I have a problem with my in-law. My mother-in-law, she's not just her, but the whole family. I married into a family that didn't want him to get married again.
Second marriage.
Actually, I've been married 3 times, and I'm number four. He used to be very codependent. He married 3 alcoholic drug addicts. They were disaster marriages. He's so grateful he's out of them. They all went on to another life and other men, and drained his life out of him, and then he went to Celebrate Recovery and figured it out. And we met online, and I was also very codependent. You guys saved my life. I've been listening to you since 1990, and I think I have every book you've ever written. And so that's what attracted me to him. He was like a year in VR and had all his chips, and he found out he was codependent. And I said, oh yeah, I was codependent. Yeah. 27 years I worked on that. And we got married in a month. And I'll tell you what, it's been an amazing marriage. We both got married at age 60, and we couldn't be happier. Our life is amazing. Mm. And it's almost like if they forbid him to marry again, his sister. They've never spoken to me. And they did send me something. One of the people, two of them, sent me something really mean. You know, everything was great till you got here. And his mother has, like, never ever even, his eyes are starting to open, and he's very supportive. I don't really know how to deal with this, except for the fact that I won't have anything to do with them. I said, look, I'm not going to darken their door. They've treated me really bad. They've shunned me before they ever met me. They know nothing about me. He's never even called me. He's never even, when we go to lunch with her, when we go to a whole other state, just have lunch. I said, she doesn't even look at me. She addresses all her questions to you. They're all Christians, by the way. These are believers, but they're very toxic. And his eyes are starting to, they're open. He goes, you know what? They've never done anything to me. They've just used me all my life anyway. And so we don't have anything to do with them, but there's going to come a day when I'm going to have to face everybody because she's 87 years old. And in a way, I feel bad, but in a way, I don't. Like, I'm used to coming. I'm from a very toxic family. I haven't seen brothers and sisters for 30 years, and I really, it doesn't bother me. I won't even be going to their funeral. I don't even care if I find out when they die, you know. They just aren't part of my life. And I'm not sure how I should really feel about this. I mean, I have forgiven them. I've given up my right
Christine,
to put them back.
Can I interject here for a minute? I think because that is your history, I just want to caution you a bit that you don't put your history onto your husband's family. It's understandable if you were wife number four why they might be a little bit reluctant. And you guys got married within a month. That's a bit quick, right? So you can understand. You could understand their hesitancy and maybe, you know, being a bit guarded. And you also perhaps don't know all that he has been through with them, right?
Actually, I do.
Okay.
I do. I know a lot.
Okay.
And actually, his mother was upset with me because I wouldn't grovel and beg for everybody to like me. Mm. His daughter and son are alcoholics. And I said, no, I don't do that. If they dislike me, and if they get up from a table and walk away when I sit down because they don't want to talk to me the first time they meet me, that's okay. I tried for like 6 months sending them notes and, you know, texts, hey, you know, how you doing? And they just shunned us both.
Okay. Christine, it sounds like you've done your work, but you're still kind of puzzled about what this is going to look like moving forward. You know, one of the things, and I'll let JJ share, one of the things that you are learning about codependency is I'm not going to be defined by what others think of me or what others decide for me. And so we want to make sure we don't get in, and we don't want to get into reactive mode, you know, because it is painful. But JJ, how could you encourage Christine and her husband in this, you know, like how do we navigate these family waters?
Well, obviously you have to start with having clear boundaries of where our marriage starts and the other family relationships end, that there's a clear boundary there, but not overly rigid, right? It's not so that we don't want anything to do with you and you can't speak into our lives, but we want to be very clear that our primary focus is on our relationship, our marriage. I found it interesting. You said that you guys got married at 60 and that his family forbid him to marry again. How does a family forbid a 60-year-old from doing anything?
Yes, we both remarried quite fast because my husband died, who was an alcoholic. I had married two alcoholics. First one was a wife beater, and after the first year, I just left. And then second one, I married another alcoholic. And it was right after that that I discovered New Life, Aledon, and bam, life changed. And I was a Christian, so I just hung in there for 32 and a half years. I was a single wife, is what it boiled down to. And then finally, I took really good care of him and stuff. And then he just died. He was 10 years older than me, both husbands were, and I saw that was a problem. My husband and I, by the way, are the same age. In fact, our birthdays are one after the other.
I'm trying to understand, how did his family, forbid him to do something?
When he got divorced, his sister goes, I forbid you to date. And he knew he was in CR because she went to CR too. She was married
But there's no teeth to that. It's an empty threat. If one of my sisters told me that she forbid me to do something...
Yeah, he said...
Okay.
He goes,
that's an opinion.
Right. She can say that, but he doesn't have to follow her.
It is always
something. Clearly he didn't because he got married to you.
Exactly.
But that's the question is, how did it impact the relationships with his extended family? Did he understand that he was drawing a line between his choice to marry you and what his family wanted?
All right, Christine, you can hear the music. We're going to go to a break and we'll be back after this. But, you know, family, it's always something. And we just, you know, it is a different time when you're married later in life, just like you said, JJ. But we'll get some clarity after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're talking with Christine, who has had some challenges with her new in-laws, mm-hmm. even though she's practiced some really good boundaries. But Christine, it sounds like the boundaries are irritating you and the others. And sometimes that happens in boundaries. But JJ, do you have any direction that she could take going forward so that, you know, just managing these family members, so to speak?
Well, I think the primary relationship is going to be between her husband and his extended family. Mm-hmm. As scripture tells us, right? There's a point where a man leaves his father and mother, leaves his family of origin, and cleaves to his wife. And so he has mm-hmm. to be the one who sets those boundaries with them to say, mm-hmm. hey, this is a choice that I've made to live my life with this woman, with Christine, and if you can't treat her with respect as my wife, if you can't be honest and kind to her, then we're going to have to pull back from you because it's not right for you to treat her the way that you are or treat us the way that you have. Or specifically, he can even, you know, talk to his siblings and say, I'm 60 years old. You don't get to forbid me to do things and not do things. Mm-hmm. So you have to understand that there are some boundary lines there, and that her husband is the one that's going to end up setting most of those boundary lines with his extended family to protect her and to protect their marriage.
Yeah, I agree with that. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, Christine. You may already have it, but that could be a good help in this time forward. And we're just glad you called, and we'll be praying for your marriage and hope that this is the one that's really healthy and lasts for years to come. We're going to go and talk with Dwayne, who's calling us from Columbia, South Carolina, listens on Sirius XM. We're glad you listen there. Hey, Dwayne, how can we help you today?
Hello there, everybody. I've been listening to your show for about 3 years, and I've struggled with sexual impurity for all my life, basically, from the time I was 12, and I'm now 63 years old, and mm-hmm. I've been sober for about 8 months with sexual impurity, and I'm a member of a Celebrate Recovery in SA, and I actually attend a lot of Zoom with people from the Indiana area, Dyer, Indiana, and Crown Point, Indiana, although I live in Columbia, South Carolina, and I've joined some groups here. So I have a large support system in a few areas.
Great.
What sparked my phone call, I've got many issues going on, but I guess we'll get right to the question. my question is... In our new marriage, when I was first married in October, or before that, I became sober with porn and that sort of thing before. And I told my fiance before we were married that I dealt with this all my life, and this I was honest to all these. I was open to all these things, and I said, for me to have a godly relationship with you, I need to quit all that, and I did quit it before we were married. And I've been a Christian for about 10 years, and I've been reading the Bible continuously for about 8. And so that's where I learned from sexual impurity in two ways. By listening to the show, first of all, that connected me to the fact that, hey, it's wrong to look at porn, and this is why. And then I started reading the Bible, and I read what God said about it. So basically what I'm getting at is the question I really have is that when we first started talking, she said, well, it's wrong for you to look at porn because for a man, the visualization of a man looking at porn is against what God
right.
wants, and it's lust, and that's true.
Right,
and
Dwayne.
For a woman,
Dwayne,
go ahead.
We know all of that. What is your question for us? How can we help you the best?
My question is, my wife said that it was okay for her to use sex toys and satisfy herself because she wasn't visualizing anything, and the conversation went to, I said, well, that wouldn't be honoring me. That would be you pleasuring yourself with me, and I feel uncomfortable with that. So my main question is it all right for a woman to self-pleasure herself, not visualizing or looking at porn, for her to have that take on that? What does the Bible say about that, and what do you guys think?
Well, you know, Dwayne, it's interesting because with the challenges that you've had with your own sexual integrity in marriage, we talk about the couples have to have an agreement on what is honorable, what is acceptable, and what is okay. And what I'm hearing in your question, the question beneath the question, is that this wasn't okay with you for some reason, that she didn't honor that. And so I don't know, where are you guys with this right now?
Where what?
Like, does she agree that she will not do that because you're not okay with that, or is it still up for discussion?
Well, at the time, which was about a month ago, she had said that, or actually 2 months ago, she had said that she was all right with that, but she just didn't completely understand that, except for the fact that she didn't feel like she was honoring me because that's the way I felt. And I didn't have any real clarification from the Bible on that. In the meantime, I was in an SA meeting, and after the SA meeting, we had a discussion, and she ended up committing suicide that evening.
Oh gosh, Dwayne. Oh, that is, well, listen.
And that was one of the demons that she was struggling with, was the past with sexual integrity.
Dwayne, we are so sorry. You can hear the music. We're going to go to a break, and then we'll come back. And I think we'll address a different conversation after the break. But our heart goes out to you. We'll be right back.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope, and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Dwayne right now. And Dwayne, the devastation of losing a loved one to suicide is, it's a life-changing experience. And I think I'm hoping that you have some support around you in this grief journey, but I think that's really where the focus has to be at this point.
Right. And I hope you know, Dwayne, that none of what you were talking to us about at first caused this for her. And you even said she had her own demons. So this was a conversation you guys were having and trying to sort out the coming together in a sexual marital relationship. But her issues with depression and feelings about herself and her suicidality were separate from that. You didn't cause that.
I've got some acceptance to that, and yes, I'm going to get some more counseling, and I want more counseling in that area, and I know that I'm still dealing with grief and loss.
Yes.
But that's one. I was listening to your show yesterday, and I don't know exactly what I heard, but I actually went to one of my SA and ministry partners and CR, and I asked the same question to them.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know,
but
happens? Dwayne, here's the thing, though. What happens, though, when we experience trauma, like what you just described, it is traumatic. And what we will do is we will land on the questions that are not going to resolve the pain, and we have to process what the pain is. And that's where the challenge is. I'm glad you called us today. JJ, how would you encourage Duane in this time of trauma and recovery? You know, this is a long game. This isn't going to be, you know, just a couple of months or so. And
yes, it is going to be a lengthy process. And Duane, I'm so sorry for your loss. Especially, it sounds like it was really early on. You guys had not been married very long. Is that correct?
Whoops. Yeah, go ahead. Only 2 months, I think.
Since October.
Since October.
Right. You got married in October of last year, and she committed suicide a couple months ago, correct?
Actually, a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
A couple weeks ago. Oh, wow.
Happened on April 11th.
Oh, Duane. Yeah.
So it's understandable that, like Becky said, right now, because of where you are in the grieving process, you know, one of the stages of grief is bargaining. And we start to ask all kinds of questions. What if this? What if that? If only I had done this. If only I had answered that or gone here. And we start to try to figure, you know, Because death is so, it brings to mind the reality that I am not in control. And so I don't like that feeling. I don't like feeling not in control of my life and my world around me. And so I start to try to wrestle control back by asking all of these questions and doing all of these what ifs.
Right.
And
trying to find a reason
for it. Right. There may be a place down the road to wrestle with the theological question of whether or not it's okay to use this sex toy or engage in masturbation or pornography or whatever. Granted, there may be down the road, look at that. Down the road, wrestle with that theological question. But I don't think it's a theological question for you right now. I think right now it's an emotional cry of your heart. And a response to the chaos of death and the reality that I'm not in control. I can't control bad things from happening to those I love, nor can I control them making choices that impact me and those around them. They're the choices they make that are detrimental, that are destructive. And so I would invite you, I mean, it's been 2 weeks. That's such a short amount of time. I would invite you to just spend time right now grieving. Get together with some people that you know love you and care for you, who will support you, so that you can be sad, you can be brokenhearted, you can tell the story of your wife and the pain that you're going through. Spend time there. Down the road, maybe a year from now, 6 months from now, if you want to wrestle with the theological question, you know, absolutely do that. Call back. We can have that discussion. But now is not the time to do that. Now, the time now is to grieve.
We will send you a copy, Duane, of our Life Recovery Grief workbook, and it'll give you a process. We're also going to get you connected with, maybe you can get connected with one of our counselors that can help you with that, and we'll be praying for you. This is such a great loss, but you know, we always, when we're in grief, we try, especially traumatic grief, traumatic loss, we try to make sense. We try to have some sort of context, and there, you can't make sense about this a lot of times, and we just have to feel the feelings, and that was good direction from you, JJ.
Yeah, and you might want to get involved, since you're involved in a group process already, but you might want to get involved in grief share too.
Yeah, that's very good. We're going to go back to the calls, and we're going to talk with Mary, who's calling us from Baltimore and listens on WAVA. Hi, Mary. We're glad you waited, and how can we help you today?
So I need help speaking truth, life, and boundaries to my friend. She's 50, and her dad is in his 80s. How can she stop women from taking financial advantage of him when he doesn't realize it?
Well, so Mary, has she asked you about this, and she just doesn't know what to do? Or how is this? How has this come into your... Yeah, okay.
She really doesn't know what to do.
she's agonizing, and I asked a number of questions that I know you would ask. He lives independently, pays his own bills, is incredibly organized. He's showing signs of forgetfulness. He does lack discernment and judgment. He lacks Jesus. And I asked more questions. He knows how much money he has and chooses to do what he wants with it, and he refuses to talk about a plan where to go when he's unable to live alone. Cause, so if I answer her, I'm saying, well, she has he's not interested in her help, and then she guess she's got to watch him do this. So it's just, I want to make sure I'm giving her the best advice possible.
That's great. You're a good friend, Mary.
Yeah.
Jill, let's start with you.
And her dad is probably lonely if he doesn't have a spouse, right? So he's looking.
He's widowed.
Right.
Definitely
okay.
Lonely.
You're telling me he doesn't have Jesus, so that's not where his focus is. So a lot of men late in life in this kind of situation, they're looking for companionship, and they don't even care if they have to pay for it. And so she, you know, he's not in full dementia yet, so she can't step in and you know, be his guardian. And so some of it is she doesn't have a lot of control here. I would appeal, if I were her, I would appeal to him and acknowledge that he's lonely and that he's enjoying having friendships. But I would appeal to conversations not about when he no longer can be independent, because nobody in their 80s wants to hear about that. But how can she come alongside him and support him so that the rest of his days are, you know, fruitful and enjoyable? And for them to have more open conversation, think about her coming alongside him and making life easier for him, in a sense, maybe approaching it that way.
To the point that you made, Mary, about he doesn't really have a plan, maybe that's the point, you know, that they can also agree, you know, Dad, do you have some sort of desire for it when things get difficult for you? How can I help you with that? Those kind of things.
Right. But see, I think someone who's wanting to just go pleasure seeking doesn't want to focus on the negative. And that's a hard thing. So I think you have to come in kind of via the side door, like supporting him in his life and his goals. And okay, let's put some things in place to help support you be independent for as long as you can possibly be. So versus, okay, Dad, when you no longer, you know, when you're incapacitated, what are we going to do? I don't think he wants to talk about
I wasn't thinking about that approach.
I know,
but that's
one
way to do it.
Extreme for a point.
JJ, what would you offer Mary?
So,
well, I wanted to confirm that that's the case. Okay.
What was that?
I thought that's the case, but there's a temptation to call the specific woman because she seems to know that the women don't specifically ask for money. They all tell the sob story. He wants to save them, and they accept the money. So there's a temptation to call the woman, get in the middle of it, and I'm thinking, it's so tempting, but it's technically not her place, and I just wanted to confirm that.
No, definitely not her place to call the women. We'll talk more about it on the other side of the break, but yeah, there are some things that she can do, but that's not one of them.
That's right. Well, you can hear the music, Mary. We'll be right back after this break. You know, we've got the matching gift campaign going on, and every dollar that you give will be doubled up to $325,000. It's amazing how much life there is in that gift, and we'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh with a program note about the many ways you can listen to New Life Live. If you have an Android or Apple device, the New Life app is one way to listen. It's available for your smartphone, tablet, Apple TV, or Roku streaming device. There are archived programs, articles, and short audio and video teachings there as well. Just go to newlife.com and look for the download the app link. It's at the bottom of the homepage. And for an even more complete list of ways to listen, go to newlife.com and click on the Listen tab.
Thanks, Terry Mack. Appreciate you. We're talking with Mary. And Mary, I love that you said you've been listening to us and you asked her all the questions that we would have asked her. So it just proves that you've been listening and how good the program is for so many people to listen to. JJ, you had some kind of insight for Mary along this issue that she could share with her friend?
Yeah, it ultimately comes down to a question of control. It's just like what we were talking about with Dwayne before, that there are people in our lives that we don't have control over the decisions that they make. Mm-hmm. And so, Mary, I think the best thing you can do is talk to your friend and remind her, as painful as it is, you're not in control of your dad's decisions. And he's not at a stage where he is in dementia where he needs someone to come in and make decisions for him. He's just making some bad choices that he's going to have to live with. Now, what Mary, what your friend can do is go to her dad and say, "Dad, I love you. It's painful for me to see you make some of the choices that you're making. I think these women are taking advantage of you. Mm-hmm. But it's not my call to make. It's your call to make. But it's too painful for me to watch. I can't, because I want to step in. I want to stop it. I want to rescue you in some way, and that's not my role." That would be an important conversation for her to possibly have with her dad, but certainly it's not going to be her role to go in and talk with these women or try to be the savior or the shield for her dad when her dad is making bad choices on his own. He's going to have to live with some of the consequences.
Right.
Of those
and choices. It's even hard to say, have you thought about your grandchildren or what you want to leave? That's even hard to say because then it sounds like she's the greedy one here.
Right.
Well, and Mary, you know, one of the things that I was talking with Jill at the break about, you know, one of the hardest parts of this stage is our own work at getting calm and getting the peace and getting serenity. And that's going to be your friend's work, is that how do I stay in relationship with my dad, knowing that the choices that he is making causes me anxiety, causes me concern, and I don't feel heard, yet at the same time, he gets to do what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of work. I know by personal experience.
I did tell her it's like an addiction. It's like doing codependency.
Yes.
Yeah,
work.
It is.
Yes. That's what I, you know.
You do listen, Mary. You do listen to us, don't you?
I really do. I've been through it all.
Well, you know what? We're gonna send her a copy of Take Your Life Back, because that will get her focused on her side of the street and to help her get, you know, just really open to loving her dad and not causing this rift, because she'll look like the bad guy, even though she's really, her intention is not that at all. We're so grateful that you called, Mary. I know that you're not the only one in that situation, and you're a good friend to call for her. Sometimes good friends will call for other people. You know, I was thinking about Mary's call and how she had said that she listened for so many years. And we've got a testimony. You know, I was talking about the matching gift, and New Life makes a difference. Mary was an example of that. Mm-hmm. You know, she was able to use what she had heard. But this this testimony comes from Kathy, who she says, "I've been listening to the broadcast, and it's been a special lifeline to me, as I not only hear from one, but usually several of the New Life counselors who share their wisdom and compassion with callers. I've been encouraged most in the understanding and application of boundaries. And as I have had some really difficult relationships to navigate full of conflict and pain, I love hearing about the resources and know that I'm not alone. Her accountability group is currently reading Take Your Life Back, which is a real eye-opener and a blessing. She's so grateful. Thank you for this hope-giving ministry." And so, folks, when you give to New Life, you really make a difference in the lives of so many people. We hear about it, and I hope that you are encouraged. In this day and age, there are so many people that are struggling, and they need encouragement. And it can be as easy as turning on their radio or going online. You know, you can hear us in lots of different ways. We've got workshops. We've got some online workshops that can help you. As we are, you know, looking towards different ways to help, we're always keeping in mind what God would have for you, for your life to be the full life that he had intended. Now, Jill and JJ, I know that that is tricky for so many people. What would be some encouragement as we close the program that you would give to somebody who may be in that place where they're just, they're feeling stuck or they're feeling overwhelmed?
Well, if you want to change your life, if you want things to be different, you have to do something different. So it can mm-hmm. even be something small that causes you to reach out, to connect in a way that you haven't before, but you have to do something different so that you can get a different result. So that's mm-hmm. always where mm-hmm. I tell people to start.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing over and over again doesn't work, right? It's That's not right. going to have a different outcome, right?
Right.
So you have to do something different.
I mentioned the Life Recovery Groups. That could be the one thing mm-hmm. that you do different. Call us and we'll get you connected yes. to one. It could be just that next step. JJ, how about you? How would you yeah. encourage somebody in those situations where they feel stuck, overwhelmed?
Agree. I can't fix my broken self with my broken self.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's just not possible. I always use the same illustration at the workshop. If all I had in my toolbox was a broken hammer and I needed to fix my broken hammer and the only tool I had to do so was my broken hammer, right? I'm not going to get anywhere. I can't fix my broken self with my broken self. I have to reach outside myself. Mm-hmm. I have to reach out to God, connect with God. I have to reach out to others and connect with them. And so life recovery groups would be a great place to do that. Going to workshops would be a great way to do that. Mm-hmm. Having authentic fellowship in places of worship would be a way to do that. But I have to get outside of myself. If I keep thinking, oh, I'm just gonna try harder, I'm gonna fail harder.
Mm. But I've heard Steve say trying harder just makes trying harder. And so we do have to look for a different way. And sometimes we think that it's gonna be a big change. And right. we think, oh, I've got to do a big thing. And it could be mm-hmm. a simple thing mm-hmm. because literally integrating a new pathway can make a huge difference. And it doesn't feel like that. You know, we talk about getting into God's word every day, and it mm-hmm. will make a difference in your life. And we've got all kinds of Bibles that are, you know, we're at our fingertips, literally. And it could mm-hmm. be that you just decide, I'm going to read a verse a day for the next 6 weeks and just see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Becky, mm-hmm. The other day you said a verse. It was Proverbs 12:15. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly how it goes, but something about a fool continues to think that they know the way to do things, right? Where a wise mm-hmm. person listens to advice. Mm-hmm. So that's along the ideas of getting outside of yourself.
Yeah, I just think that if we can encourage you in any way, if you're feeling overwhelmed, we have counselors, we have coaches, we have groups. And I know we sometimes will get criticized. People think that we're like too much of a commercial. But listen, people need the help. And we're going to continue to tell you how you can get to help. And we're going to help you get to that help. We have scholarships available. We have counselors all across the country. Whatever way that we can help you to get to your new life, we want to be there for you. Thank you, JJ. Thank you, Jill. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.